Happy Sunday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. I figured I'd throw the glasses on for you. Just so I can, because I carry them with me because I'm planning on stopping by the grocery store. And every time I go to the grocery store, I say to myself, I should have worn my glasses. So I brought them with me and I said, hey, I throw them on while I do this, my walk, just to, you know, see how I look on camera, blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting to see more. My eyes are definitely changing. There's no doubt about it. And my optometrist has told me for years that it happens. You get older, your eyes, you're going to need glasses. First time she told me that, it made me mad. It triggered me. Because I'm like, no, there is no one thing that happens to everybody all the time. And she said it so matter-of-factly that I was like, no. My first reaction was no. There is no nothing that you could tell me that I have to do or that I'm going to be. I think I've always been that way. Some people say I'm contrary. I'm contrary or whatever. I can't deny it. If everybody's swimming west, I'm wondering what's happening east. It may not even be the path less trodden analogy. It's just, I just don't like rolling with the herd. In fact, it's to the point that where I used to get on the bus, go to get on the bus every morning. I was going to say I missed the bus too. I kind of missed the bus. I was walking around downtown LA and walked past the Red Line metro station that I used to get on every day for a couple of jobs, two jobs, over 10 years, maybe even longer than that. The same station. I was like, oh, it's been a while since I've been on the Orange Line, the Red Line. But anyway, I used to see people get off one bus, transferring from the, I think 741, 755. The bus that goes to UCLA. See, I used to take buses. I used to ride the bus. Catch the bus to UCLA and then get another bus to go out to the beach. Several Metro Pass, so I was all into that. But, you know, they all get off the bus and they would all come over to catch the Orange Line. And one, you see all these people coming. So that means all these seats going to be taken. There's going to be less seats. And number two, they all walk in a herd in like a big group. And that used to bug me. Not bug me. I'm just saying, you know, to make it easier without having to go through the whole find the right word thing. I used to go like, ugh. You know, I used to see that and repel against it for whatever reason. Wow, it's funny how I'm talking about this. Because the reason I kept the camera on, you know, just to see everybody walking a herd together, and just like people on the freeway riding in bunches, gregarious. Especially you in the left lane, and you trying to do something, and you see somebody in the left lane that you know ain't supposed to be there. Because where I come from, left lane is a fast lane. If you ain't passing nobody, you ain't supposed to be in there. And in Ohio, it seems they adhere to that more than out here. People will get out of your way in Ohio because they know it's like they respect the rule or the, you know, general whatever you call it. And when I was driving to London or England, hell, police told me to get out of that lane. I wasn't even in it that long. Police was like, doop, get over there. And I was like, okay, because it's the other side, you know, it's the other side when you ride in the UK. Everything is reversed. But is it? I'm riding on the other side. You're driving backwards, basically. You're driving, you know, against the American traditional, you know, this way, that way. But I still think the left lane was still the fat. No, the right lane was. That's right. It's the right lane. How did I think about it? It's this side. Oh, the camera's flipped, so do the math. So it was, and I was over there a couple, I only got over there like twice. And one time I got over there, policeman somehow, I was like, whoop, get your butt over there. I was like, yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I was driving in the UK, I had one accident. And I knew, I got insurance. I got every insurance I could get when I rented that car, because I was gonna be driving like 800 miles in a country that I've never drove before, driving backwards. We're driving on the wrong side of the road. I planned the hell out of that trip. I planned it too tight, in fact. I was in Manchester and didn't get to see nothing but a library before I had to get up and leave. I had planned that too tight. I was trying to catch shows, Peak Funk show. But I did get to go to, I drove to Stonehenge. And that was the coolest. I drove to Stonehenge before I went to a Peak Funk show. And that was the coolest. But driving is important. Drive by myself, in my own mind, in my own space, by myself, you know, able to vibe the vibes that I want, you know, talk to myself and be into myself and, you know, not be distracted by this or that. It was the best. So, I say all that because I was talking about people being gregarious and walking in herds. And not so much as, I guess we would say, go along with the crowd or whatever. Or just, it's just something about, you know, conformity that I was against. Not against, but, you know, strikes me to almost not trigger. I don't know. I use the word trigger because it's easy. You know, I say startle me, trigger me, gets my attention, whatever. But, and to think, and it was funny because the reason I cut the camera on now is because I went to, I was thinking, you know, I brought my, you know, selfie stick and I brought my mic. And I said, if I feel like talking, I'll talk. If I don't, I won't. So, I said, and then I remembered that yesterday or the last time I walked, I lost the, wind guard, the foam windshield from my lavalier mic. And I just shot the video without it. And I figured, you know, it would have to be in a few places. And in the moment I was like, well, it can only be a few places. And sure enough, when I got home, it was where it was supposed to be. It fell out. But I'm thinking, even if it fell out accidentally, it can only fall out in a few places. So when I got there, when I got home, it was right in the tray where I keep everything else, because I used to keep it in a plastic bag. You know, I take the thing, wrap it up, put it in a plastic bag. Then I put the plastic bag in this little tray thing I got. And somehow it fell out and it was in there. And, you know, before, I think before I found it, Or no, I had found it, you know, when I went back to put the stuff back. But after I did, that led me to go through all my earpieces, all my earbuds, all my mics, and where, you know, all my lavalier stuff. I cleaned out a little junk box, electronic junk box I keep, you know, right there in the studio, right next to me. Went through there and cleaned that out. Love throwing away stuff. Love throwing away stuff I don't need. You know, it's cleared it out, found some stuff. Hey, I don't need this no more. I don't need that no more. Microphones and stuff. So that was fun. You know, and I found some stuff that I could use to go. And I found a lot of plugs. HDMI to VGA. DisplayPort to HDMI, USB, just a lot of connectors and adapters. You know, so I put them all in a bag. I got my Ziploc bags, put them in a bag. Cause the reason I turned this on today, you know, speaking of conformity and, you know, people, you know, doing stuff, as a group or whatever, and like routines or whatever, is because as I was thinking about the mic, I was proud of the order in my life. I was proud of how much order there is in my life, how much order and maybe conformity or whatever, you know, how much structure. I have severe order and structure in my life. I know where everything I own is. And it's to the point where if I would throw it away. If I can't keep track of it, or if it's in a place, I don't need it. Everything has a place. There's a place for everything. I know where everything should be in my life. Now, well, in my life, it's probably kind of hard to say, but I just know things should be. When I pick this up, it only can go down in one or two places. Maybe one, whatever it is. And so anything I touch, anything I do, it goes back to where it should be instinctively. I don't got to think about it. Now, I probably shouldn't bring this up, but my daughter, she ain't like that at all. I watch this girl. She comes in the kitchen to get a paper towel. She'll grab the roll of paper towels, take one off, and it just set it right there right on the counter. And, you know, like I said, we need all kinds. That's my daughter. If y'all know Kimberly, oh God, if y'all know Kimberly, and probably a lot of the way she is probably due to my influence or whatever got passed down to her from my genes. There's no doubt about that. But you can't tell her nothing. You can't tell her nothing. And I was like that. I was like that for a while, mainly because I didn't think nobody could do it as good as I could. And still to this day, if you ask my mother, she'll tell you, you still can't tell me nothing. But at least I listen. And if you ask my sister, she'll say, well, let a white girl tell him. My sister said, yeah, let a white girl tell him. Because I was teasing my sister. But it was kind of true. She would like say, hey, you know, Jeffrey, you should try these insoles for your shoes. I'm like, yeah. In fact, she even gave me some for Christmas. I'm like, yeah. But because I have so much order, I saved them. I didn't throw them away. I knew where they were when I needed them. Keyword, years later when I needed them, I pulled them out and put them in my shoes. I was like, oh. And what I like to do was go, hey. You know, years later, I come back, hey, y'all ever try this? just to see her eyes roll. Like, hey, y'all ever do you ever try this? You ever did this? Because I even started to notice that a lot of things that my mother and sister say, you know, as soon as they say it, you'd be like, ah. I mean, it's to the point, I'm not a hater. And I trust and have faith in my responses, my subconscious responses or my initial responses to either be naturally human or for a reason. So it wasn't hard for me to realize that, oh, you know, that they right, you know, not right, but you know, they had the right idea, and I was just a little bit behind, if I could put it that crudely. And so over the years, I started to realize, and I can laugh about it, you know. So I was kind of like my daughter, but she got it in spades. She bought her own car. I think she was like the only one who bought their own car coming out of high school. She bought her own. Of course, you know, I think my father helped her. I don't think I was in a position to help her back then. But, you know, my father helped her. You know, she went around. She did the work. And, like, you know, like the way my father trained me, you have to step to Mr. Mitchell with a plan. You know, it's almost like a business proposal. You just don't walk up to him and say, you know, hey, can I have this? You got to say why, when, how, what, everything. You got to have it all laid out. You got to have a clear plan. My son ain't like that at all. My son be like, give me this. Can I have some money? I'm like, for what? Oh, just to have or something. I was like, no. I'd be like, no. And then a couple of times, you know, I just give money on the string. Because I know, you know, he's the way he is. Well, Kimberly would come to me straight like that. Here's the proposition. Blah, 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 blah. Like when we went to, when I call myself taking them to Australia, China, and Japan. The way they came, the way my daughter came, it was, I'm still going to say I took them. I don't care what you say. I took them, but they were an asset. She came on as an asset. They were contributing to the thing. She was the one who would get the Ubers. They paid a lot of, they paid a big chunk of their traveling fees. You know, they were active participants. I wasn't dragging them along. And they kept up with the schedule. You know, I do not like to be late. You know, I do not like to be late. And they weren't. They were on time the whole time. I don't remember getting aggravated because somebody was late or it was time to go. They kept up and they contributed. I think, in fact, first, as soon as we landed, because, you know, I mean, everything was on time, from them getting to LA to them renting a car to them getting a room to them meeting me at the airport. You know, because usually I'm hands on, especially with my kids. I'm like, where you at? How come you know, where you at? Are you ready? Where you at? I wanted to do that, but with my daughter and her husband, I was kind of, you know, I knew I had to, you know, let off because I could trust Kimberly a little bit. Even though she don't be late. She just be messy. She just be messy. And I don't mean like, you know, like taking a roll of paper towels out and then taking one off and just leaving them sitting on the counter instead of putting them back. My whole point was getting to that was I put everything back. Everything goes back immediately. Everything goes back immediately to the point that when I chop up my food, when I put my food in the food chopper and I scoop it out of the food chopper thing, I rinse and clean the food chopper thing out before I put my food in the microwave. And I keep saying, no, put the food in the microwave and let it be cooking while you clean the thing out. No, something in me always has me stop, you know, or get sidetracked. And I got to clean it and put it away. Or just clean it and rinse it and get it in the sink, get that food out of there. And then put my food in there. And I may lose, you know what, 10, 15 seconds or whatever. You know, it's not a big deal. But, what was I going to say? It's not a big deal. But it's just, you know, the way it was. So everything is ordered. And I saw her coming in there running the house. I mean, of course she's running late, but she always do. You know, she'll wait, or whatever. I don't know if she wait or whatever. But, you know, before she go to work, every morning, every day, oh, I get this, oh. She run out the house. She say, oh, I got one minute, I got a lot of time. Next thing you know, oh, I got to go to breakfast. Oh, yeah. She get herself worked up. And I'm like, she can't tell her nothing. I've learned, you just got to sit there and watch. And I talked to the dean about it. And she'd be like, nope, you can't tell them. You can't tell your kids nothing. You can't tell them nothing. You just got to watch. And I'd be like, but Kimberly, I've been through this before. I'm trying to help you. If anybody on this planet is going to give you good advice, it's going to be me and your mother. And it's not that we're smarter than you or anything. You know, I might be, let's face it. But, yeah, Kimberly's smart, though, but I'm supreme. But it's like we've been through this before, so we know. We have the experience. We have firsthand experience of what you're going through. And we're just trying to give you some of that knowledge. Nope. You can't tell her. No, you can see her face just. As soon as you try to suggest something to her, you just see her face lock up. Oh, God. But when they came to Australia, and I took them. I'll still say I took them. You know, they held their own. They held their own. They even contributed, like I said. She was the one getting the Uber. You know, and she was like suggesting things, you know. And I was like, oh, a couple of times I was like, oh, look at you, a participant. Because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they kids, you know, they always gonna be kids. And that's just the way, you know, I'm gonna look at it probably all my life. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. So, and to get off the subject, I guess to go back to the point was order. Everything in my life, not everything, but pretty much it's order. I know where everything is at. I can find stuff when I need it. Certain things go certain place. I wouldn't put certain things down. It's to the point now, I used to play a game. I used to play a game where I said, oh, I wonder what this is. And I try to go and find it. Something obscure that I ain't seen in years. But, okay. And I would go and I would try to find it. And I would. And then once I get in there, I see what else is in there. And I go through that stuff and I prune it. I used to have pictures of stuff in the inventory, an Excel spreadsheet, but I don't even have to do that no more. You know, I know what's in storage. I know what's in storage. Even though storage is getting a little cluttered, it's probably about time for me to, you know, I just moved. Speaking of storage, the price is going up. I think I'm up to $73 now. I think I started at like 33. I'm up to 73. And I logged onto the account to see how long I had it, to see how fast it was going up. Because I don't want to have to go through this whole thing that I went through with extra space in public storage. Even though public storage is new and nice, and it's remote control, and it's climate, and it didn't get all hot like extra space. It's really nice. So I would probably pay a little bit more. And I got two of them. I got two small ones. You know, and I could probably condense them down into one and go through all that. But I got stuff in there. You know, some stuff you just don't want to keep in your one-bedroom apartment. And you live out here in California, which you're paying for one-bedroom apartment. You know, you got to have, you know, the space. And you pay, what, 90-something, you know, so a few dollars for a storage or whatever. So that's how that works. And then, what was I saying? So I would go to storage and look through stuff and find this and go through stuff and say, oh, I got stuff. I got, you know, all my photos are in, I'm not going to say in order, but they are in semi-order. They're all in one space. Videos, you know, all my paperwork. You know, I can go to the general area because when I move into that storage, I kind of threw everything in there. But not throw everything in there because I'm just not that type of person. But I kind of just got to get it in there for now. Come back later. And I kind of never did. But then one day I'm going to get in there and do some stuff. Get it cleaned out. Pull some videotapes. Go through my photos. Because they're all organized, of course. Speaking of order. They're all organized in boxes by date. I got all my father's pictures. His photo collection that we weren't allowed to see or touch. Not that they, you know, we wasn't, you know, anything bad or anything in there. He said he didn't want to mess up. We knew not to mess with his pictures, with them pictures. He didn't want them messed up. So that, you know, came down to me and I got it. I went through every single one of them pictures. Looked at them. They were in like all these pictures. You talking about order. Oh my God. Maybe that's where I got them from. When I was going through this stuff, when I found the will, his will and testament, and a big pile of stuff in the middle of the floor, because he was sick, he wasn't as healthy towards the end, so the place got kind of messy, they're disheveled, and for some reason, it was just like a whole bunch of paperwork on the floor. It didn't look like nobody had broken there or anything, but it looked like he was going through stuff, and just had stuff all, you know, on the floor or whatever. I went through it in like the middle of the floor and a pile of stuff. God knows. His will and testament. So, you see me kind of lean and hold my space, even though because people want to ride side by side and they come over onto my side. You see me kind of walk over to let them know. That's just how I am. I don't know why I do that. But so he was ordered too. I went through this stuff. He had bills from 1956. Everything was in order, written down. You see him wrote dates and names down. So all the pictures he had were still in the original. They were still in the original, what's the envelope that came from Super X and these stores that 40, 50 years ago. So they had dates on them and names and receipts. So I guess that's where I get that from. So, and like I said, the reason I cut this on is because the order. That's the word I want to use, order. Just so much order and structure. And I'm laying in, when I was laying in the bed, during my 2-3 hours of quiet, I was going through my bills and stuff, going to see, you know, how my bills are paid, make sure everything's getting paid, look at that, make sure this is that. You know, just keeping everything aligned, organized, managed, and together. And I guess you could say by me doing that, it provides a more stable foundation. I don't know how to put it. If that part of my life is ordered and structured and together, and I don't have to worry about it, and is built to support me, is built to rescue me, is built to protect me. Like how I'm doing all my data, I got all my data encrypted. You know, I got storage locations for my data. I got encrypted passwords. I just went to a password management. I just love that. I just love having everything ordered. That's kind of why I wanted to be a SQL database administrator, to actually work with large volumes, managing large volumes of data. I wanted to like work, you know, huge volumes of data, writing code, doing queries, searching, finding. I even took a SQL class. I even got a SQL Microsoft certification. SQL is structured query language. Nowadays it's outdated. But, and even on my databases that I use, even though on my website, they use MySQL, those databases that hold all the posts and stuff from my WordPress sites. You know, I got those going on. I don't got those going on. They're automated. But, you know, I still like to back them up. And, you know, I just like my hands on stuff. I like to have my hands on. So that's why I cut the camera on. I cut the camera on to talk about how much order there was in my life and how proud I am of the fact that I found the microphone shield right where it was supposed to be because of my order. And then I ended up talking about conformity, how people being conformity triggers me, and herds of people walking together and all that stuff. I love life. I love when I see stuff in life that teaches me something, or I learn something, or I discover something. I really do. I mean, I think I like the stuff. I love the stuff that I don't like more than the stuff I like. And the stuff that I don't know is probably, the stuff that I don't know is my favorite stuff. Stuff that I don't know is my favorite stuff. I think that I didn't walk my, as far as, I'm gonna walk this way. I'm gonna walk up this way. I never went this way before. Well, I ain't gonna say. Yeah, I don't think I ever walked this way before. I can say that. Yeah, I can definitely say that. Because I don't remember. I wouldn't walk on a dirt road. I would avoid a dirt road, so I probably would walk on the other side of mine. So, you know, it's just good. It's just good that you come out here, you get out here, you see beautiful Southern California, out here at the Sepulveda Basin, by the Japanese Gardens or wherever I'm at, Army Corps Engineers. I think that's the Army Corps Engineers. I used to work for them while I was a contractor. I used to work for Abtec, actually, who contracted through the government. I was talking to my buddy that I met at the government, the keyboard player that comes over, Mark, and he'd been working at the government 30, 40 years. He was telling me that you know, one of our coworkers who may not have gotten me fired was still working there. He said, I seen your girl, Renita. I was like, oh, she's still there. And I was like, damn, it's been like 30 years. And, you know, they worked there forever. You know, they'll work there forever. That's why people coveted those government jobs. They'll work there forever. Well, and she kind of, I wouldn't say she got me fired, but that was the nail that broke the camel's back when I wouldn't or couldn't or didn't conform to the role they wanted me to play, where they wanted me to be her assistant, and to put it crudely and probably unmannerly and disrespectfully and whatever the word is that the woke people would use, I ain't gonna say she was backward. Just government, you know, the government employees, the government, they do things a certain way, and they do them that way for decades. And it's not the people, it's the system that makes it that way. It's the system that it forces them to conform. The paperwork and the rigmarole, the way things go, it forces them to be that way because they have protocols they need to follow. And the government wants things a certain way. People want things a certain way. And you can't deviate from that, especially after you've been doing it for 60,000 years. So, and I just wasn't ready to play. I just wasn't ready to play. The classic example was, we're supposed to do inventory in a room. I went in there. I had a barcode scanner. Boop, 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 boop. I was grabbing asset tags, put them in a sales spreadsheet. Boop, 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 boop. I did a whole room by myself. I just knocked the whole thing out by myself. I got it done. And she was used to literally writing everything down. And I mean, literally, she said, okay, so what's the next barcode? 8, 9, 3. What was that? What was that? 3. And I couldn't work that way. I mean, I wasn't wired that way. I just wasn't wired to do that. And what else happened? We were doing something like that. And then, so it got to the point where we had to have a third party in the room with us. We were trying to work together. And I was trying my best to be subservient and let her take the lead. But she kept asking me my opinion. And I'm like, this is going to get me in trouble. Why ask me if what I'm going to say is not going to work for you? Tell me what to do. And I knew it was a personality conflict. And I guess I was supposed to be working under her. I was hired to do thing A. I ended up starting doing thing everything. I was the man. People was asking for me. I was a contractor. I was making $16 an hour. I wasn't supposed to be the man. People say, hey, where's Jeffrey? Send Jeffrey over here. They didn't like that. Because I go over there and get it done. You know, like they had never seen it done before. And the reason that I was there for 2 years making $16 an hour is because, well, one of the reasons that it was good, I needed to get back in the game. I had fell out the game for a while. I needed to get my feet under me. I had to learn. I had to reteach my body how to work, how to keep that focus. You know, so that helped. Even though, you know, it was probably not the most. It was an easy job. You know, I was definitely sandbagging, but I stepped it up. You know, one coworker even told me, I don't think I ever met him before. He was like, stop doing so much, basically. He said, you're not going to get hired. You're not going to get a raise. Stop doing so much. Because they understand it's the government, and there's a certain pace that everybody has come accustomed to working at. And if you step outside of the pace, it's like, you know, you skew the curve. You'll be great on the curve, But when Kathy Oaks used to get 100 all the time, so much for the curve. But, you know, I was right up there with her, though. If I'd have applied myself, I'd have did my thing, too. But, you know, I ain't trying to. And I wasn't. You know, I was smart enough to get by. And all the teachers knew it. They was like, he ain't even trying. He getting B's. And, you know, so, I mean, that's just the way I've kind of went through life until I found a couple things where I really want to turn it up and go after it for a little bit. But in the long term, you know, I come in spurts. I go out there, I kill it. You know, I put everything I got to it. And then, I'm tired of this now. What's next? So, you know, and so working at the Army Corps, I was like, my father he wanted to go back home for a month. So I was like, yo, I got to take a month off and go back home with my father. I was a contractor anyway. So, I mean, what can they say, you know? And they was like, okay. And right the day before I left, they fired me or they relieved me of my contract. I was like, okay, whatever. And I left, you know. That's another job. 15 minutes, I was done. Been there 2 years. They tell me to leave 15 minutes, I'm ready to go. But I was already ready to go because I had a month. I was going to be gone for a month. And I did think I was going to come back, but it's good that I didn't. It worked out for everybody. At least it worked out for me. So he was telling me she was still there, but I remember being in that room. And I forget who her name, what the lady's name was, who was in there with us. Who was in there mediating, you know, because I guess we couldn't be in the same room together. And it was just obvious we wasn't going to get along, you know, so they let me go. And that was cool. You know, I needed it. You know, I'm like the battered wife thing where she ain't going to leave until she get thrown out or something, you know, happen. So, you know, I understood that. That was even a biggie at all. But how did I get on that subject? Here, I'm at a park. I don't know the name of it. I don't know if this is the Pueblo de Basin. I don't know what it's called. But as you can see, we was walking through the parking lot. You can see people. I ain't gonna call them homeless, but homelessy. You know, who just park their car, kind of live out of their car or whatever. Or just finding a spot to chill. I used to do it too. That's how come I know this place. I used to go over there to the Japanese gardens or whatever. They got like a Stonehenge thing over there. Like monument or whatever. Things. I used to go over there and sit in the car. And just chill. You know, so. I know about it. You know, finding that place to. In fact, I still go to the one over by the lake. A bunch. I go over by the lake. And sit and just, you know, listen to music or play with my music or, you know, do stuff like that. So, it's all good. I think. I probably know it is. Feels good to get out here. And I'm laying in bed all day. I'm staying in this bed all day. I ain't getting up. I'm staying in this bed all day. Boop. I done walked 5 miles. You know, thinking about something that I want to do. Or, I got to go to Walmart. Oh, I need to get this. Or, I got something that, you know, you think of and motivates me. All these people out here barbecuing. I can't chew for shit. I ain't going to be able to chew or bite until August, until Labor Day. In fact, I need to plan a Labor Day celebration because that's when I should have my teeth. I should plan my Labor Day celebration because that's when I should have my teeth and just to have barbecue. In fact, I think I'm going back May, and it's going to be some ribs. I don't know if I'm going to buy a food chopper when I get there or take one with me. We'll see. I don't know. I think I should just take one with me. But then again, they might need one back there. Well, my daughter might be able to use one. I don't know. It's only like $27. Depends on how much. And I got clothes back there. So I really shouldn't have to take. Most stuff I take is to work. And I was thinking about buying a monitor. and have another monitor there. In fact, I still might do that. I was thinking about buying a monitor and leaving it there instead of using the portable monitor that I got. But see, they're both, the portable monitor is 1920 by 1080, but it's small, it's like 13 inch. I can get it 1920 by 1080, 17 inch monitor, HDMI. You know, it'll make things a lot easier, but is it, you know, is it worth it, is the question. It's worth it if you can afford it, and I can afford it, so that puts more pressure on it. If I couldn't afford it, it would make the decision easy. But since I can afford it, it makes the decision a little harder, because I have to factor in, am I just doing this because I'm lazy, or if I'm not just doing this because of the blah, 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 you know. So that's how that goes. But I saw some used. But I think, see, the used ones, I think, see, the used ones, they may or may not work, or cheap, they're like $35. I don't think we're HDMI. But if I, but like I said, all the connectors and stuff that I found recently, I could use those probably, you know, to make it work. And see, this is the fun part. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy doing exactly that. You know, figuring stuff out technically. Instead of just, because I can afford just to buy, hell, I can buy a whole, I can rent a damn office if I, you know, if I really wanted to. You know, but that's not the point. I can actually just rent an office. Somebody got a flat, trying to get it to where they need to get. Taking it slow. You better call AAA. Somebody ain't got AAA. I don't know where they going. They trying to get somewhere. Black girl too, black female. So, I gotta see. I'm gonna go back there looking and just have it shipped to Kimberly's house. It's not like I ain't going back there every 5 minutes. I wonder if I can, you know, I even got an extra monitor. I got a monitor at my mother's house, but that one needs to be thrown away. And I got, actually, I got a monitor at my house. But I think it's VGA too, but I got all the cables, so I'm gonna be able to do something. If I go HDMI to DVI or something like that, I can just check that out, see, you know, how's it compared. I probably can throw that in a suitcase. Probably take the stand off of it and throw it in a suitcase. But anyway, it's just fun. Or is it cheaper just to go ahead and spend $80 and have one delivered there? HDMI, when it's gonna work going forward. In case, you know, something else go down, I need it for. See, that's what I like to do. When I'm walking, I don't listen to music, I don't listen to podcasts. That's what I do. I listen to me thinking. That's what I really, really like to do. That's probably why I like to be alone so much. Because this is really, I just enjoy this so much. I just enjoy this. And I say too much because it's going to lead to me being antisocial. And it's not that I'm antisocial. I just rather do this. So many times I've been sitting there and I'd say, and I would say, oh, I wish I could just think what I want to think. There's been times where, I mean, in relationships with people, hanging out, whatever. In fact, I was one of, at Ole's wedding. At Ole's wedding, at his reception, they just played ping pong the whole time. You know, everybody was all together, you know, talking and all that. I wanted to hear the music, so I sat by myself. It had been a long time since I, or if ever, if I heard Dr. Funkenstein playing on a good PA, a big PA system. So I didn't want to be sitting around having people talking to me. I said, you know, everybody was there too. You know, I said, oh, I said, I can't, y'all. I can't, because y'all going to be talking, and I'm going to be into the music. You know, I wanted to hear the music. It was all people. I love that about me, I think. I don't know. I don't love that about me. It's just something that is. Let's not go too far. It's just something that is, you know. I enjoy it about me. I enjoy it. I don't know about the about me part. It's just me. How can I love it? It's just, fish don't know he wet. It's just what I do. You know? But to talk about the actual action or the enjoyment or the act or the experience, I love the experience. Did I love the experience? I guess what I'm saying. Not really. I don't think I even enjoyed that I enjoyed the experience. Now I'm getting too deep. Okay, I have experience. I love seeing Pete Funk. I love seeing my Pittsburgh Steelers. I love certain experiences. But do I love that I love them? No. Do I even like that I love them? No. It's just irrelevant, I guess. No. I don't even think I'm proud that I love them or that I loved my experiences. I don't know if I'm proud that I enjoy my experiences so deeply, that I relish my. Now, I do love that I relish my experiences. I do love that I cherish my experiences. So it's not that I love that I do it. I love that I cherish that I do it. No, I probably don't even do that. I just do it. I'm glad to have these experiences. I'm proud to be the person I am, where I can get out here, walk with a stick, talking to a camera, getting my thoughts down. That I'm having my life so orderly, you know, my websites and my data, and I'm building something. I got my Jeffrey TV. I'm up to date with technology, you know. So, and technology is the. In fact, it was a podcast saying that the biggest shifts in society came from technological breakthroughs. The biggest shifts come from technological breakthroughs. Radio, telephone, internet, CB radios, television, you know, all that. The printing press. The biggest shifts in humanity came from technological innovation. And when I saw that crystal radio, when I was 9, 10, whatever, I saw what that thing did, what it was supposed to do, even how it smelled. I was like, this is going to be something. I mean, I did. And my father might have said electronics is going to, he probably said electronics, you know, he probably said that. Because this was back in the 70s before electronics really blew up. In fact, it was going to be electrician. And I said, no, I don't want to be an electrician. I want to do this. This is not electrician. So I had to figure out what that was. And that was an electronic technician. I didn't even shoot as high to get it. And I went to school as an electronic technician. I got the lowest rung at DeVry, you know, to get my, because I didn't know. I wasn't really into school or anything. I just went to school, you know, and did what I did. So there was really no career planning. And my mother didn't sent me away. I say it that way because If that's the way it happened, that was the best thing for me. In fact, I said, I want to take a year off. She was like, nope, you're getting out of here. And I went to Columbus. And I learned, and I got the lowest rung, electronic technician diploma. Came out with it to California with it. And I made it. You know? I made it. I literally made it. Now, I love that about me, that I made it in California. Paid off my student loans, blah, 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 blah. But I made it. And a lot of people didn't make it out here. But I made it with an electronic technician's diploma. Started off as an electronic technician at Kennedy Company. Got my own apartment. Got a job, got my apartment. I think I was making $7 an hour. Kennedy Company. I was still drinking back then, so I wasn't, you know, I was a functioning alcoholic, barely. So I was, you know, I was only drinking beer. I was drinking it every night, and more of it. So I got my, I think I was making $7.50 an hour. Got an apartment, San Marino Avenue, $3.50 a month. The rest was a hustle and a bustle and working with people who worked with me, you know, to make things happen, to make things work. I've been here ever since. Pivoted from electronic technician to computer technology in 1995. Got a bachelor's degree at DeVry in California, DeVry and Pomona. Got my electronic technician diploma from the DeVry in Columbus, Ohio, Alum Creek Drive on the east side. That's where I met the DC crew. We call ourselves the Kindle crew. Bunch of DC niggas. Southeast, Northwest, Northeast. Basically, we got an apartment building. Somehow, my mother found this apartment building. Somehow, ended up in an apartment. There was a bunch of us in there. And we all hung out. In fact, Eric and Rick. I still hang out with Rick to this day in San Francisco. I go to football games with Rick now. Eric, I see him. I go up there. 30 years later. 40. 40 years, you know, so we lived together, got a house on Lockbourne. We lived together. Rick bought his diploma out here. He started doing, you know, stuff, and he moved up the managerial chain. I stayed away from, I never got promoted. I got promoted once, and it was more like a, it was like something to get me out of the way. They moved me to night shift and they gave me a title. And it wasn't trying to get me out of the way. They wanted me to actually, you know, do something with a night shift. But I'm the kind of person who, my boss told me, I asked my boss at Artisan. I said, how come I've never been promoted? How come this? Because I wanted his advice. He said, because it seems like you're happy right where you are. He just says, seems like you're always happy right where you are, and that's the truth. So even now, where I'm at, there's an opportunity for me to move up. I've seen people move up just on because people liked them. You know, not so much ability or whatever. You know, not nepotism, but people like you, things happen. And you know, people like me, I can go anywhere I want. And I know damn well, if I was to apply myself, I can have anything I want in that company. How much effort, you know, it would take, where I'm willing to put in the effort. I mean, I can strategize the goal, and I can accomplish the strategy. There's no doubt about that. If I'm willing to, if I got the fortitude enough, or if I get to a point and say, you know what? Because I'd rather be working on Jeffrey TV stuff, let's just face it. And that I don't even want to do all the time. I just want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I'm at the point now where I've lived alone so long, and I've become grown accustomed to being a level of happiness by myself that compromising is just pretty much off the table. I say, hey, I only got 20-something years left in my life. That's what I tell people is my excuse of why I don't want to do something they might want to do. Hey, I only got 20 years left. I'm 60. I'm only doing what I want to do from now on. Jeffrey, you've been doing that all your damn life. Oh, okay, that's right. I forgot. Even when you were married, even when you're in a relationship, that's not true. But some people say it is. Some people say even in a relationship, it was always about Jeffrey. I can't help it. It's the way I was raised. It's not my fault if I'm spoiled. All or nothing. Jimmy G and Tackhead. Ain't my fault if I'm spoiled, all or nothing. There's no way. But, and so now, I'm at a point that where I'm supporting myself and I can back up. I got backup behind me. I quote unquote don't need nobody. You know, people always need somebody, but you know what I mean. And I think basically all my life I've been working towards that. But I knew there were certain hurdles that I needed to jump, or I just wasn't ready for that yet. I knew that I wasn't capable of that yet. I need to get to this level, get to this level, get to this level. And then things just started to fall into place. And then next thing you know, boom. Look where you at, Jeffrey. Hey, you ain't got to compromise no more. Had enough, I've been in relationships, been married, had kids. I say that because those are like things in life, human milestones in life that I think that are so monumentous or so, what's the word? Having kids. It's like, that's what we're here for. That's what life is about, reproduction. And to not have that experience or not to have been married, I'd have been too curious. But now that I did it, got out of it, woo! Had kids, hardest thing in the world. And I wasn't even there for the day-to-day. My wife was there for the day-to-day. You know, I got calls though, believe me. I would get the phone call. Something I needed to handle. You know, it wasn't like I was completely absent financially or, you know, if I needed to handle something. You know, of course, my kids, she was, if you ask me, if it's one thing I didn't do, one thing I kind of regret was I wasn't there to get between her and the kids, because she did so much for them that they're practically useless. I mean, I'll, you know, put that crudely. She did so much for them that they don't, you know, I ain't gonna say that they don't know how to do for themselves, but something kind of like that, you know. You know, it used to be the point they would eat. I'm telling the story, I don't know for sure that. They would eat and fall asleep with the plate on their lap. My ex-wife would get up and, you know, pick it up, take it and put it in the kitchen for them. It was like they didn't have to, you know, do, I mean, they probably had to clean their room and do stuff. But for the most part, you know, she spoiled them. And her personality is like that. Her personality is really, really like that. And it's not like she faking it. That's just who she is. And my granddaughter now, I'm like, you stay just how you is. I said, we're going to clown you. We're going to tease you. But you keep doing that. She needs that. You know, that little feet on the floor. A, B, C, D. You know, all that little kid stuff. Here, you know, do your dress. Here, put this on. You know, all that. Because, you know, I'm back there. I'm like, hey. I'm throwing her across the room and, you know, dragging her here, doing that, taking her to Santa Monica Pier. Hey, look at that, you wanna get on that ride? You know, or actually, what I was doing, I put her on the, ever since she was little, I realized, and I didn't even know, before she could even do anything, I'd set her right in front of my lap, in front of the computer. But she'd been doing that, because I got pictures. I'm like, wow, she couldn't do nothing. Now she, you know, you put her, she's like, ah, grabbing and doing this and putting her feet up on the table and trying to backflip and trying to front flip onto the table and stand up on it. You know, and now there's a picture of her just literally standing on top of my keyboard, you know, because I got all my monitors and stuff set up. So she's been looking at that stuff all her life. You know, got a couple of videos where she's just so little, she could do nothing but just kind of barely hold her head up. You can see her looking at stuff and, you know, all of that. So when I come to town, I set my computers up in the room. She know. I think I'm gonna take her a keyboard. I got an extra keyboard, I'm gonna give her a keyboard. I gave my niece a keyboard. And my sister said, she used to carry it around like it was a toy. Cause I think they see, you know, us working on keyboards and stuff. They know that's important. You know, it's probably something sticks. You see her mother on the keyboard. You know, she would see her mother on the keyboard. See me on the keyboard. So, you know, it's kind of like learned behavior or whatever. You know, because she'd be sitting there when I'd be working. Acknowledge this boy, this is Jeff. She'd see me working on the keyboard, hitting the keys. Then she'd try to, you know, she'd try to, you know, do stuff. You know, try to imitate me or whatever, because she'd be seeing all her life. So, you know, I do that. And I take her out. I take her out in the stroller one time, and we just sat on the corner, watched the cars go by. You could see her, you know, she had never seen cars go by before. You know, she had never seen cars go by before. So I just sat her there and, you know, set her up so she could see. I stuff behind her and look at her, make sure she okay. She look at me, she look and boom, and get her used to, and, or I take out a board. She can motorcycle go up and down, she, you know, real loud motorcycle. Show her how to follow it, you know, see it, see it, see it. Watch her head following it and all that stuff. You know, we all got our thing. We all got our thing. When Kimberly's just doing the, you know, the day-to-day work, the maintenance, heavy maintenance, and the night care, and the, everybody doing their part. The father doing what he do. It takes a village, you know. And the reason I want to go back there, I want to put my stamp on it. I ain't gonna lie. I'm trying to put my stamp on it. Because I don't want them being all like the way Terry wanted to be. Because we come from different philosophies and not just a religious thing. And she even teased me. She'd be like, she gonna go to church. She gonna love Jesus. I'm like, okay. I ain't worried about it. I'm not even worried about it. Because I know kids today. I know how they gonna grow up. Do what you want. Do what you can. Hell, you don't even go to church no more. Say what you want. But then y'all don't even go to church no more. But you know, that's their belief and faith. It was a time when that would trigger me. But now, they're using the word trigger again. It was a time when that would trigger me. But now I'm just like, ah, we got this one. We won this one. This one's over. Kind of like the Civil Rights Movement. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Rosa Parks and all them fought the battle. They won. We won. It's over. I'm not fighting that battle no more. I'm just going to live their dream. I'm out here living their dream. Ain't no sense in me getting all excited about it. When I get excited about it, and that word triggered again, is when black people want to go back and complain and fight that battle all over again, saying things are still the same, things ain't never changed, things ain't changed. Shit. People used to go in black people's house, take them out of the house, rape them, and kill them. Are they still doing that now? Don't you see the police? That's not the same, number one. And number two, no. Things have gotten a lot better. You know, so I don't have to fight that religious Jesus. You know, she gonna love Jesus, love the Lord thing. I just let, you know, Terry and them say what they got to say. You know, so I just smile. Well, whatever. We'll see. You know. But, and it kind of don't matter. It kind of, in a way, it kind of don't matter. But it kind of does. No, it kind of don't matter. It kind of don't matter. And I don't want to get too deep in it, but it could limit the scope of her world vision, how big the world is, if she's held captive by the belief in Jesus and God. It could be, I don't want to say, not captivating, but it could control, not control you, but it could shrink your world. You know, it can make your world a lot smaller. I'm thinking, I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of people. You know, I think if you're worldly, you're, and I ain't talking about saved. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I just think, you know, people who believe in, you know, I may be wrong. I just people who believe in Jesus and God, put Jesus as a priority or the number one reason and all that. Their life is limited to that. Is not as big as somebody who's open to a lot more things, open to all kinds of different things and all of that. You know, so see, did y'all see that? Again, three people out here walking, we all pass each other to a point where we're almost perpendicular. You see that? It happens too much. There's something going on with the world or humans or something or me, the way it, either that or I notice it. When it doesn't happen, of course, I don't notice it. But when it does happen, I notice it. And I say, hey, I see it happen again. So when it doesn't happen, I don't notice it. But three people walking in the area, we all end up in the same place. How's that happen all the time? Come from different places. One on a skateboard, one walking. I'm walking from wherever I'm walking from. And at that one point, we all, you know. So, that's, you know, that's how I feel about a lot of things with my glasses on. I wonder how I look with my glasses. I think I look okay, but we'll see. Anyway, y'all, I think I'm gonna wrap it up. This is the longest one I've done, 1 hour and 5. I think I better wrap it up before it don't take. Anyhow, swing on y'all 2 times. For me, for the fun. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all, a theory of universe, an hypothesis of all as one. My name is Shepard.